Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text for this week comes from our gospel lesson, Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. Jesus also said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager who was accused of wasting his possessions. The rich man called him in and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you can no longer be manager.' The manager said to himself, 'What will I do? Since my master is taking away the management position from me, I am not strong enough to dig. I am ashamed to beg. I know what I will do, so that when I am removed from my position as manager, people will receive me into their houses.' He called each one of his master's debtors to him. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He said, 600 gallons of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 300. Then he said to another, 'How much do you owe?' And he said, 600 bushels of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 480. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than the children of the light are. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with unrighteous mammon, so that when it runs out, they will welcome you into the eternal dwellings. The person who is faithful with very little is also faithful with much. And the person who is unrighteous with very little is also unrighteous with much. So if you have not been faithful with unrighteous mammon, who will entrust you with what is really valuable? If you have not been faithful with what belongs to someone else, who will give you something to be your own? No servant can serve two masters. Indeed, either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." This is our text. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus has been throwing some difficult things at us these last few weeks. We learned that those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. We learned that you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you hate your father and mother, your son and daughter. Last week's text, as Pastor put it, was a little bit more fun, because we got to learn just how much Jesus loves us. He leaves behind the 99 sheep to go after the one. With today's text, we're back in with the difficult sayings again. Jesus tells us in this parable how to make good use of our wealth. He even wants us to learn something from how the unbelievers live and use their wealth in this world. Now, the steward in this parable was clearly not a good manager. Immediately in the story, he is accused of wasting his master's money. So the master, like any boss, calls him out and tells him to prepare to make an account of the things he has lost. And he also informs him that he's going to be fired. The steward has to weigh his options now. He doesn't want to do manual labor. He doesn't want to beg. It's a safe bet that he won't be getting another manager position anytime soon. So he has to think fast. He needs to figure out what he is going to do once he loses his position. So the manager decides that his best course of action is going to be to make some new friends. He's going to go behind his master's back and fix the books a little bit. He calls his master's debtors to him, and he begins cutting their debts. He asks one, "How much do you owe?" He says, 600 gallons of olive oil. "We can make that 300. He asks another, "How much do you owe?" He says, 600 bushels of wheat. "We can make that 450. You can see how he's going to quickly make new friends with this strategy. And you can see how these new friends are going to feel just a little bit indebted to him. And they might even help him once he's down on his luck because he's lost his job. Up to this point, the story makes sense. Now, I'm not saying what the manager did was good, but I'm saying I can understand the flow of this story. Like, I wouldn't be shocked to hear about a story similar to this in our present day. But where this story stops making sense to me is when you find out how the master reacts to all this. Because you expect him to storm out when all this is going on, yell at the manager, fire him immediately, maybe even throw a punch or two. But that's not what happens. Jesus tells us that the master commended him for acting so shrewdly. Now change those barrels of oil to thousands of dollars for a second. If you run a company and you're selling a product for $6,000, one of your employees sells it to a customer for $3,000, that's 50% of your profits. That's a lot of money that you're losing. And yet, the master commends him. He was by no means happy with what the manager did, but he respected the moves that the manager was making in order to make sure he was taken care of once he lost his job. God wants us to take a lesson from this shrewdness, or cleverness, if you will. Now, obviously, he doesn't want us to go behind our boss's back and take advantage of them, but he wants us to use what we have, like the manager did. The manager didn't have a lot of options, but when he saw an opportunity, he took it. God gives everyone plenty of opportunities. The difference is in how we use those opportunities. The unbeliever will use those opportunities to serve himself. In the mind of the unbeliever, the end goal is to have money so you can use money so you can have a great time while you're here on earth. Because in the mind of an unbeliever, there's no life after death. We're here for the time that we're here. So we might as well have a good time while we're here. This is not what God wants at all. God wants us to use the opportunities that he gives us to serve him. He wants believers to utilize their gifts, their blessings, to do what that manager did, in a sense. You see, God has given each and every one of us unique opportunities in this world that nobody else has. These are opportunities to witness to our friends, our families, our neighbors, to use the gifts that God has given us, money or otherwise, so that we can show as many people as we can the light of Jesus. We want to tell them about what Jesus did for us. Jesus always utilized his opportunities. He never missed a chance to redeem a lost soul. He never held back from telling someone exactly what they needed to hear. That they were a sinner, that they needed a savior, and that he was that savior. The unbeliever lives only to serve himself, but Jesus never put himself first. He came down from his glorious throne in heaven to be born in a stable. He lived under God's law. He faced every temptation. He was slandered, made fun of, persecuted, beaten, and executed in the most demeaning way possible. There was nothing to gain for Jesus in this deal, but he saw an opportunity to save you and me, and he did not hesitate. Our Savior endured all of this so that we could share in the joy of the kingdom of heaven with him. You see, even though there are very different outcomes in the actions of believers and unbelievers, there is something that believers can learn from unbelievers, especially when it comes to using opportunities. Of course, we shouldn't serve money, but we also shouldn't neglect it. Look at what Jesus says in verses 10 and 11. The person who is faithful with very little is also faithful with much. And the person who is unrighteous with very little is also unrighteous with much. So if you have not been faithful with unrighteous mammon, who will entrust you with what is really valuable? The money here is the little things. That's what the money, the wealth is. Now, does it really matter in the grand scheme of things how much money you have in your bank account when you die? Is there a median income requirement to get into heaven? Of course not. That's ridiculous. God wants each of us just to be good stewards of what he has given us. He wants us to use our gifts well, especially when souls are on the line. This parable talks a lot about money, but Jesus' encouragement doesn't just stop with money. He talks about other gifts as well. Look at what he says in Matthew 25. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was lacking clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or lacking clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" The king will answer them, "Amen, I tell you, just as you did it for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." What an encouragement this passage is. God tells us that whatever we do for our brothers and sisters here on earth, we do it for him. It pleases God when we serve others. Did you notice how many of those things in that list required money? It doesn't cost us anything to welcome a stranger or to visit someone. Our opportunities don't just involve money. God gives us all opportunities of all sorts. Are you a people person? Go talk to people. Do you like baking or cooking? Make a dish for your neighbor. Bake him a pie. God has given each and every one of us unique gifts so that we can use them to get the message of Jesus out there for people to hear it. When we do this, we become God's instruments. We become tools of the gospel. What an amazing blessing that is for us and for them. Jesus ends this parable by telling us, nobody is able to serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. For the unbeliever, this is an easy choice. He's going to serve himself by serving money, and he's going to do it with zeal. This is the easy road. Believers, we have a narrower path ahead of us. It can be very difficult and tricky to find that balance with our gifts, especially with our wealth. You don't want to neglect it, but you also can't make it the most important thing in your lives. It is only through the work of the Holy Spirit and the means of grace that we remember what the purpose of these gifts are, why God gave them to us. He wants us to use them to spread the message of the one who never put himself first, and the one who never missed an opportunity to share the good news. We can be just as zealous as unbelievers with our gifts. You don't have to stand in a pulpit and preach a 20-minute sermon to tell someone about Jesus. When you see an opportunity in front of you, just be like that steward and go for it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Christ Jesus. Amen.